Listening to The Naked Scientists, it's Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. And coming up, we'll be finding out how understanding the structure of HIV can help us to develop vaccines and also to find out what young engineers make of Lego. Kat?
Now it's time to turn our gaze on the Earth rather than viruses. The Earth is under constant bombardment by a 1 million mile per hour maelstrom of charged particles that continuously stream out of the sun. Now we're protected from this solar wind by the Earth's magnetic field, luckily, but a sudden surge in solar activity can nonetheless overcome this protective shield, leading to damage to satellites and power lines. A dramatic example of this occurred in the mid-1800s, and Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham went to meet geomagnetist Alan Thompson in the archives of the British Geological Survey in Edinburgh to uncover magnetic records from the event.
It's all wrapped in tissue paper.
Because we want to preserve it.
It almost looks like ancient parchment, doesn't it, with this wiggly line on. This was from photographic paper, and then the marks along it. And this one here, what's this, August. August 31st, 1859.
It runs from August 31st into the 1st of September. And we've got two traces here. One of them is the variation of the compass needle on that day. Now, most of the time, it doesn't change too much. It's a few tenths of a degree change on a normal day. But in this event, towards the end of the record, there's a sudden
blip. It's right off the scale.
Yeah, it's huge. And that marks the arrival of X-ray radiation from the sun. Something's happened on the sun on that day, and we're seeing the first record of that. And the way that works is the X-rays ionise the gas in the atmosphere, and those electrical currents cause magnetic field. And that's what our instruments measure. So we've picked that up, and we know this event followed what was known as a solar flare. The first one of us witnessed by eye by the astronomer Richard Carrington. So his claim to fame is that it's now named after him. It's the Carrington event of 1859, and it's the biggest magnetic storm that we think we have in our records.
So in 1859, would anyone have noticed that? If they weren't measuring it, would anyone on Earth have noticed this solar activity?
Yeah, well, this was the Victorian era, and we had a telegraph system. Some people have dubbed it the Victorian Internet. The telegraph operators normally would use batteries to power this system. But when the Aurora Borealis was in full swing, they didn't need to. They just disconnected. And the natural electromagnetic variations from this big solar activity, this magnetic storm, could power the internet, the Victorian internet directly.
So they could power the telegraph directly from the sun?
Yeah, and there's reports of fires and people getting electric shocks as well. So it was not a trivial thing happening at the time.
OK, Alan, we've come to the opposite end of the building. We're up on the roof now. And this is how you do it these days.
So nowadays we have a series of automatic instruments that run at remote locations called magnetic observatories. And we have three of them in the UK. And the instrument we've got in front of us is one method that we use to calibrate those automatic instruments.
Now, Chris Turbutt, you've set this instrument up for us. What can it measure? It looks almost like a surveyor's tool.
This is exactly what it is. You'll probably see surveyors using these at the side of the road. It's a yellow theodolite sitting on a wooden tripod. It's a little bit different in that all of the magnetic content's been taken out, so there's no iron and steel left in there. It's all been replaced with copper and brass, etc. And it has been adapted because we put on the top of it, this is a fluxgate magnetometer, and it's a little instrument that's sensitive to the direction of the magnetic field along which it's pointing. And the idea of it is that we can rotate it around and search for the direction of the magnetic field. That's telling me that we are actually off slightly. If I just rotate it, the theodolite round with the magnetometer on the top of it, it will go through. I just went through it there. I'll just go back a little bit until there we go. That's it, zero. So that's us lined up.
Now, what's the point of doing this other than to build up a past record? Can you use it to predict what's going to happen?
Well, one of the things we do is we exchange data with other institutes around the world, and that allows us to build up models and maps of how the field is changing. And in part of that process, yes, to some extent, we can predict the long-term change in the magnetic field, but realistically, only up to about a year ahead, which is why it's a continuous process of measuring and modelling to build better maps. And with a bit of scientific insight, yes, we'd like to push that a bit further ahead than just a year ahead.
And do you think in our lifetimes, we'll see anything like that 1859 event?
There's every chance of it. It's very hard to quantify how frequently such an event should come round. But the sun is very variable, and it's entirely possible that we can get an event like that Well, maybe every 100 years, but that it's hard to tell, and that's one of the reasons why we have to keep looking into the records to try and get a better understanding of just how frequent that might happen.
That was Alan Thompson from the British Geological Survey talking to Richard Hollingham. And if you enjoyed that, there are lots of more of Richard's podcasts, as well as links to other Planet Earth resources at thenakedscientist.com/planetearth.